The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast is part of the Podbelly Network. Please visit podbelly.com to see a complete listing of all of our other shows.
It's about to be a fun ride. Follow along, watch as we slide. Paranormal just hit the lights. Goosebumps all through the night. Mix in just a little bit of twang. That girl sure can't do a thing. Together, hillbillies go insane. Laugh so hard it'll hurt your brain. Podcast you won't ever change. These two here, they got the recipe. Sat on back and listen in to some of our darkest mysteries, eh?
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. And now here's your host, Jerry and Tracy Pauly, and their dog Ninja.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 211 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
211.
211. I'm taller than that, so don't go there.
Not much.
I know, like two more points up. That's so sad.
All right, guys. We want to say a big thank you to all of you for tuning in, and a big thank you to all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent, and thanks to all of you people on the front line keeping everybody safe and working retail and trucking and stuff during the big COVID-19 disaster that we're experiencing.
Yes, God bless every one of you. Stay safe out there, and thank you for keeping America going.
Also wanted to say, if you are experiencing a tough time right now, I know a lot of people are. I saw something from Vermont the other day that said as of the end of July, they already had over 120 suicides, which is what they did all of 2019, and we were only halfway through the year. So this thing's definitely taking a toll on people. Just know, like I told somebody earlier today on the phone, you know, they told me, you know, I just don't want to reach out to you guys. I don't want to bother you guys. I know you got a lot going on. We come on this show every week and tell you to give us a call if you need to. Mm-hmm. If we didn't have the time for that, we wouldn't do it.
Well, there's always time for that.
Right.
I don't care what the situation is.
We don't ever feel like that. And as I explained to this person, that's why we always say you're not a burden to people. People do want to hear what you have to say because, unfortunately, that's where the problem lies, is people do start feeling like they're a burden and nobody wants to hear them. And that's something you tell yourself and talk yourself into. That's not reality most of the time.
No, that's very true.
So, if you don't want to talk to us and you don't want to talk in the group and you'd rather talk to somebody that's a little more anonymous, you can always call the suicide hotline.
Yes, that number is 1-800-273-8255. Or you can give them a text at 741-741, and you can always count on our group for support as well.
Yeah, we did a little fine-tuning in the group, so we'll get into that just real quick before we get on with the show. We did add some admins, so we have now 9 total admins where we only had 5 before, so we got 4 extra to kind of go through and make sure it stays a safe place.
Yes, absolutely.
So I want to thank all of our admins for doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, you guys rock.
Keeping it good. All right. Are you ready for tonight's episode?
I am so ready. I can't stand myself.
I do want to mention that tonight's episode is brought to us by El Yucateco Hot Sauce.
El Yucateco. That's the first time I've said it. Did I say it right?
That's the first time you said it correctly.
Oh, yes. Well, hell yeah.
But they
are... Give me some hot sauce.
They're the number one rated habanero hot sauce in the United States, and they're in the top 10 of all hot sauce, period.
Woohoo!
You can get them at any major grocer, for the most part. Target, Walmart, both have them.
Yes.
If you don't see them in your grocer, first of all, ask them to start carrying it.
Absolutely.
But if you want to just not wait on them and get it, go to elyucateco.com, and you can order merchandise, you can order hot sauce, and you can have a good time with it.
There you go. It's good. Wait.
It's
good.
My God. We put some on pizza.
Oh, it was so good.
So it even made Papa John's pizza taste good.
That needs some help. Yeah. Hey, but any of y'all, I know that we love hot sauce on pizza, but man, has anybody put Worcestershire sauce on pizza?
How are you going to bring Worcestershire sauce during an advertisement for El Yucateco, who's sponsoring the show? Well, has Worcestershire sauce ever spent money on the show?
Okay, I get you. What I was going to say, I didn't get to finish. Worcestershire sauce is good, but then I tried the hot sauce from them, and now I like it way better. But I do still like the Worcestershire sauce.
That's disgusting.
No, it's not. Y'all have not
lived. I like Worcestershire sauce. I don't like it on pizza.
You don't know. It's so good. But
I tried it. It's disgusting.
Oh. But yeah, that hot sauce, really, it just does, I don't know, it just gives it a kick or something. It's really good. So you guys try it.
What? Hot sauce gives it a kick?
What the hell? Get off my nuts, man.
All right, let's get on to the story. This is kind of funny. I picked this... I picked this story mainly because I liked the name. I thought the name was funny.
Oh, I was going to say you picked your nose. Well, yeah. That's rude.
So then I turned on an episode of Lore that I haven't listened to, the most recent one, and he mentioned he mentioned it in the podcast.
Isn't
and I
that
thought
crazy?
I had never heard of this.
It's so and funny then all of a sudden, how that works.
Boom. Of course, he barely touched on it, so he didn't really
do
much when it came to this one. It was just like a prelude to what he was talking about.
Yeah, that's cool, though.
All right, tonight we're going to talk about the Ballygally Castle Hotel.
Oh, I want to say that. The Ballygally Castle Hotel.
Say it 30 times fast.
Ballygally Castle Hotel. Ballygally Castle Hotel. Ballygally Castle Hotel. In your face!
When do we start doing the Tracy DC?
Oh, crap.
We should do that next week.
I need to get my rock on.
And after tonight's story, we've got Tom and Andrea from We Drink and We Know Things out of Louisville, Kentucky. You guys are going to love this. This was a very fun interview. It's not really much of an interview. It's just more of them doing a short version of their show, and it's pretty cool. You'll like it. All right. So it's been a while since we've done an Irish story, so I thought I would try to find one that I wasn't familiar with. And luckily, Ireland, you know, they've got no shortage of haunted places.
Oh, yeah. So I want to go there, like, so bad.
I know you do.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So therefore, it wasn't too hard to find a place that caught my attention, the Ballygally Castle Hotel. Ballygally is a resort town in Northern Ireland, approximately 3 miles from Larne, which I had never heard of, but it's 20 miles from Belfast, which I have heard of.
Belfast,
yeah,
Germany?
Belfast.
I mean,
Belfast, Germany.
I don't know.
Belfast, Ireland.
Sorry. I don't know. I had Germany in my brain.
I believe Belfast is the capital of Ireland.
Okay, gotcha. So,
which would be a big shock to Germany. You'd be like, why the hell is the capital of Ireland here in Germany? But I don't know.
I don't know.
Its population, get this, between 500 and 1,000 people.
That is it?
Depending on the time of the year.
Well, good for them. That's nice.
As far as the castle itself, it's breathtaking.
Oh, I can
absolutely
imagine.
Absolutely beautiful. It's like something straight off of a postcard. It's a charming, almost teal-colored Scottish baronial castle that overlooks the sea.
Teal?
Almost teal.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that kind of like a really pastel kind of...
Oh, I can just see it. It looks so beautiful.
Well, as beautiful as it is during the daytime, it's just as terrifying on a dark, stormy
evening.
It's like something that's straight out of a black and white horror movie from the 1950s and the 60s. Like, think Frankenstein or something like that. Yeah. If you knocked on the door, you would expect Vincent Price to open the door. That's all I'm saying.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be, especially since he's dead.
That would be even more special.
So you've got to drive up this eerie, dark road that's right along the coast to get to the castle at the top of the hill. Just think about that.
Yeah.
In the corner of the castle is a turret. And you know I love turrets.
What's that?
You know, the rounded part, like, of the castle, like on the corner.
Do you have to cross a moat?
I don't think you have to cross a moat on this one, but that's a moat point. There's a small window in this turret that's overlooking the North Channel of the Irish Sea. The window is in a small, drafty little room known as the Ghost Room. And you'll get in to several stories as to why it's called the ghost room. Nobody stays in that room, at least nobody living anymore. Tracy, do I have your attention?
You have my attention.
All right. So let's learn about the Bally Galley Castle Hotel.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This hotel was added onto the castle in the 1950s. So if you're looking at it from the outside, it's obvious where the castle ends and the hotel starts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As far as the castle itself, it was built in 1625 by a gentleman that went by James Shaw. So he moved into the area in 1613 from Scotland. He built the castle, and it was in a French chateau style.
Sounds nice.
So that makes a lot of sense. You got a Scottish man who moved to Ireland, and he built a French castle. So it had 5-foot thick walls, a steep roof, and a corner turret. I love this part. An open stream ran through the outer hall.
Oh, how nice.
Think about it.
Wait, ran in the inside?
Through the outer hall.
Oh.
This made it really convenient for drinking water, but it also guaranteed that if somebody was to come in there and start a war or something like that, that whoever was living in there could hold out for a very long period of time because they had water and, you know, accessible to them.
Right.
You would think, though, that somebody would just, if they were just right up and saw the stream running out, they could just poison it. You would think.
I'm glad you didn't give them that idea.
Soon after the castle was completed, Shaw married a young woman by the name of Lady Isabel. Now, Lady Isabel gave birth to a daughter in the first 2 years of their marriage. This is going to lead us to the ghost room in the turret that we spoke about a little bit earlier. As so many legends go, this one's a little dicey. It's got a couple of different variations. So the story goes that Shaw was so upset that the baby was a girl and that Lady Isabel didn't provide an heir to him that he demanded her to be locked in that small turret room. Lady Isabel fell to her death from the window. It's unclear whether she fell actually trying to get to her daughter somehow, some way, like climbing out the window or something like that. Or she jumped to end her misery. Or Shaw might have even sent some of his henchmen to help her fall out the window, so to speak.
Well, I mean, she can't help what she had.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Because when I heard that, this didn't really seem to make sense to me. Why wouldn't he just try to keep having another baby? Well, you know. Now, I know some of these people...
Quitter.
Some of these people did some crazy things back in the day, but that was my thing, too. So I did some more research, and I found another version of this story that made a little more sense to me. In this version, it said that Lady Isabel had been having an affair with a seaman.
Ooh.
It may be
possible...
with
a seaman. Oh.
It may be possible that this could have also bring up a discussion of whether or not the little girl that was born... was Shaw's, or whether it was the seaman's. Either way, seaman was involved. When Shaw found out about the affair, he became irate, and he had his wife locked in the room. Over time, the rage drove either her to commit suicide or Shaw to have her killed, one or the other. So it goes without saying that several people have experienced ghosts of Lady Isabel in the ghost room over the last 4 centuries. That's a long time.
Wow. That is a long time. Did he do anything to her lover?
Well, we don't know for a fact that that actually happened as far as the lover. So
okay.
That was just a rumor. So as far as I could tell, nothing. But that does seem like a little more likely story of why he would have her locked in a turret.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of the story from, what was the other one we did in England? Loftus Hall. That was a similar to where the husband was mad at the woman for having an affair and locked her away until she eventually died was one of the stories on that.
Oh, man. I mean, I get it. You're upset and you have every right to be. But that's a little harsh.
Yeah. I mean, back then, hell, most of the time they would have had him killed. So I guess it's not as harsh as having him killed.
Yeah.
So Lady Isabel has been known to wander around the old part of the castle as well as... besides just that room, she stays in there. So Lady Isabel may be the most popular spirit that haunts this magnificent structure, but she isn't the only one. Olga Henry, she became the manager of the hotel in January of 2003, and she says even though she's from the area, she had no clue that the castle was haunted until she took the job there.
Mm.
She admitted to being a skeptic, but she said the more that she's worked there, the more she believes that there is definitely something strange going on inside the castle and the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
She also said that there are definitely certain rooms that guests specifically requests.
Ooh, nice.
So these are in the castle section, because keep in mind, like I said, the castle is the castle, and then you can see in the 50s where they built the hotel onto mm-hmm. it. So it's, but what happens is there's like four or five rooms in the actual castle that you can rent, and then the rest are part of the regular, and those are the ones that people want, the part that are in the old castle.
Oh, I'm sure. But I'm sure when they added on, that probably disturbed a bunch of stuff.
And that's very possible. Olga says that sometimes these guests that decide that they want these specific rooms, that they get a little more than they're bargained for.
Oh, gosh.
Because these rooms are all right below the ghost room.
Oh, see, yeah. Ooh, that might be too much for me, even.
One of these guests was staying in one of the rooms that were in the old castle, and they were there in town for business. And this man had young kids, but they weren't on his trip. So he was, you know, asleep. It's middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's asleep, he feels hands of young children. And it's like they're, like, putting their hands on his head. So mm-hmm. it wakes him up middle of the night. So you know how it is. Sometimes when you wake up, you kind of lose track of where you're at.
Yeah, of course.
So he's like, forgets that he's out somewhere, and he's thinking it's his home when it's his kids. And then all of a sudden it dawns on him, oh, I'm not at the house.
Oh, yeah.
I'm at a hotel and the kids aren't here. And it freaked him out so much that he went down to the lobby area, to the admissions desk, in his underwear only, and demanded that they put him in a different room. Thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, he said once he woke up and felt them hands and realized they wouldn't there, that he could hear kids running and laughing in his room.
So, well, see, I don't know if that would have bothered me.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have.
Oh, you think it would have?
Yeah, I guarantee it would have. There's two private dining rooms in the old park. One of them is called the Dungeon. Doesn't that sound charming?
The Gun?
The Dungeon.
Oh, I thought you said the Gungeon. I'm like, what the heck is that?
The hell is a Gungeon?
I don't even know. But a Dungeon don't sound good.
Isn't that a song? Gungeon style. So anyways, you got that one. It's got this old world stone floor, beautiful fireplace, this rough cut walls. The other dining room is called the 1625 room. But we're going to focus on the Dungeon room because I couldn't find anything interesting about the 1625 room.
Huh.
Told you Olga Henry, the one who was running the place starting in 2003, said she had a strange incident happen there. And this is going to freak you out a little bit.
Okay.
There were a group of directors that were going to be staying at the hotel. And the night that they arrived, they were going to have their dinner in the Dungeon room. So that was kind of her job to go in there and set everything up. Okay.
Yeah, that is so creepy sounding.
So Olga said that she had set up the entire room the day before. Things like making sure all the glasses were sparkling, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The normal mm-hmm. stuff. The candelabras, they all had to be perfect. And so they get everything done. They lock the door and they leave. She has the only key. The morning comes. She can see that the guests were checking in.
Mm-hmm.
So she thought, you know, what the heck? I'm going to go up to the Dungeon and get it opened up just in case the directors want to come in and take a look at the place. Fair enough. She opens the door and she said that the table was an absolute mess.
You're kidding.
Nothing else in the room had been disturbed, but all of the glasses were laid in a circle around the table. The linen napkins had all been unfolded and thrown, you know, all over the place. There was a round mirror that on the table that had the candelabra sitting in it. Everything, including the mirror and the candelabra, was covered with a dust. She said it wasn't the kind of regular dust you could just wipe off. She said it didn't want to do anything. It was more like scum. It's how she described it.
Oh, she worked so hard.
She said this dust wasn't anywhere else in the room, not on the floor, not on the furniture, just on the table.
Oh my gosh, thank goodness she went up there and checked on that before. Did she get it cleaned up and all that, I wonder?
I don't know about, well, not really. She said that it made the hair on the back of her neck stand up.
Oh, I bet.
And because, like, so I said, pissed. She had the only key. But see, I think you're missing the gist of the story. You're talking about, you're more concerned about whether she got it re-cleaned up in time, not putting the focus on the fact that how did this happen? What was that mysterious substance on there?
No, I feel you on that.
But I mean, at that point, though, you kind of really don't worry about, you know, it's like, what the hell happened here? Because you got to be freaked out. You got the only key, and now there's a substance that you don't even know what it is, and it's only on the tables. The glasses have been moved, and there was no way anybody could have gotten in there.
Well, I mean, that would freak me out, but then I would be in panic mode if people were supposed to be coming there. Like, what do you do?
But she had all day to get that done. She was only opening it up in case they wanted to see it. I'm sure she could make a lie or something if they wanted to see it and say, you know, that something.
I wonder what that stuff was.
I don't know. That's what I said. She said it looked like dust, but it was more like scum. Think about that. Because I'm thinking about, like, in the shower.
Yeah, on your tub.
Or
and stuff.
On the buildup that you get on your tub or something like that. And this happened overnight and nowhere else except
That is crazy. That table.
So, anyway, she has no clue how it got there or what it was. She said that it was unnerving, to say the least.
Oh, I bet.
The oldest part of the hotel is by far the most active, but there is some other activity in the newer part of the hotel. There have been some mediums come to Ballygally Castle Hotel to see what they could pick up on, obviously. And they say that on some nights, there are more spirits than there are guests in the hotel.
Dang.
The most common report is children laughing and playing. There's also a distinct sound of a silk dress ruffling, even when there is no dress around that could possibly be making that noise. Sometimes the showers turn on by themselves and they flood the room below. That's nice.
Oh my gosh, now that's just pushing it.
Many of the guests have told stories of phantom knocks on their door only to open the door and then find out there's nobody at the door or nobody in the hallway. We talked about Lady Isabel. Her ghosts is seen more in the old section of the hotel, especially in the ghost room. I told you we'd get back to that. In 1998, the week before Halloween, Kim Linehan, she was a reporter from BBC Radio, she was doing a show called Good Morning Ulster, and she wanted to record some fun stuff for Halloween for the show. Mm-hmm. She thought, you know, hey, that'd be cool. She decided to stay the night in the ghost room, and she thought, hey, this would make a cool story. So Kim said that she got a much bigger story than she ever imagined that she was going to get. She said she thought it would be fun and that they would all just get a big laugh out of it. So Kim drove up on a dark, stormy October evening. Once she got there, she met up with a psychic medium that she had already kind of pre-set up.
Okay.
The medium didn't want any kind of publicity. She just wanted to make contact. Matter of fact, she said she only wanted to go by Sally, so people would know that she weren't there. She weren't. That she wasn't there. That's right. I'm writing a book. Can imagine how that's going to be. Good thing I got people smarter than me looking at it. But she didn't want any credit, so she just went by the first name. So Sally picked up on the same feelings of the mediums that were before her and said that there were several spirits in the hotel. Kim and Sally went up to the ghost room. Sally starts this meditation ritual, and the ritual she was doing was designed to make contact with a spirit. This room is very small, and it has only a wrought iron cot style bed, a dresser and mirror, and a chair, and some old picture. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Little B room. Of course, the window overlooking the sea is in there. We talked about that earlier. That's the one that supposedly she might have been pushed out of or fell from and that people can see. So Kim said that whatever Sally was doing was obviously working because the environment changed. Sally was not in any kind of a trance, but she was very focused on what she was doing. So Kim starts the tape recorder that she's got. She's ready to catch anything that might happen. It started to get really warm in the room. Kim said it must have gone up at least 10 degrees. About this time, Sally starts talking to somebody. Then, as the heat rose, a smell seemed to come along with the temperature change. Kim said it wasn't vanilla, but it was very familiar. But she said it was kind of like an old and musty smelling vanilla. Also important to know that the smell came all at once. It didn't gradually happen, which was strange because, you know, when you have smells, they typically don't just randomly appear. And yeah. You know. So Kim said the hair stood up on the back of her neck. Sally was having a conversation with somebody, but whoever this was she was having a conversation with was obviously distressed. Kim said it was like listening to one of those phone conversations where you only get to hear one side, but you can kind of figure out what the other person is saying, or at least the mood of the call. So Sally was trying to calm down the spirit that she later said was a very upset female. Sally said that the spirit was that of a young woman who was scared and looking for her young daughter.
Aww.
Which sounds
like
the story of Isabel.
That's so sad.
The spirit said that she was being kept there against her will, and it was an older woman who wouldn't let her out of the room. Sally said that several times during the conversation, the woman spirit would go over to that window and look out towards the sea. She was looking for a seaman by the name of Robert. She wondered why Robert had not come back to get her. So the whole experience lasted for right around 8 minutes before Sally's face went completely blank and she said, "I've lost her." Kim said that as soon as Sally said that she had lost her, the smell immediately disappeared. And she said, "A normal smell cannot just come and go like that." Also, the temperature in the room went right back down. Now, I find this part of the story particularly fascinating because most of the time when you think about it, when there's spirits and stuff around, what do you hear about? Cold spots.
Well, yeah, then why did the temperature go up?
But in this situation, the temperature rose up.
Wow, that's weird.
But it did get me thinking. Because, like in a lot of these ghost hunter shows, they use a heat thermal camera.
Yeah,
and they'll pick up the heat of where something is. So they must put off some kind of heat. Why else would a heat thermal camera get them? And if that's the case, though, why is there cold spots? So, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. Thought I'd bring it up. Anyways, Sally and Kim, they go back downstairs. And let's remember that Kim is going to spend the night in the ghost room. So, she was noticeably shaken after
this. Sure she was. I'd be second thinking that idea.
Well, Sally told her that there wasn't anything to worry about because the spirit wasn't evil, just scared. Well, I mean, it was a scared spirit.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
She also said that she didn't know if the ghost would even come back or not that night. So Kim was definitely rethinking spending the night in the room, regardless of what she said. Shortly after midnight, Sally left, and Kim decided to have a drink or two of brandy to calm her nerves, and then she settled in upstairs. She brought up some coffee, a tape recorder, some magazines, and she got herself settled. But she said at that time that the room was very cold and uncomfortable. She said that she knew she wouldn't get any sleep, so she left the lights on and the door open just in case. About 2:30, she was calming down, but that was getting ready to change. Because about 30 minutes later, it was 3 a.m., and the room started to warm up. She knew what that meant from earlier. But she tried to talk herself into, you know, just rationalizing.
Yeah,
that,
like, man, my coffee's just making me hot.
Right, and that's exactly what she said, that it was the coffee or the brandy just making it appear hotter. Then it got warmer, and she thought to herself, this isn't right. That same musty vanilla smell
was back.
Came back. She said that it was very strong right towards her head. She said even though it was a smell, it felt like that it covered her, if that makes any sense. Kind of like a sheet. She said it was as if she could feel the smell on her clothes and on her hair and on the bed. She was so scared that she couldn't move. She said that she snapped out of it. She was a reporter. She was there to do a story, which meant she needed to focus. So she got out her recorder, and she said, it's 3 a.m., it's gotten warmer, and the smell just came back. I don't like it, and I'm going home. That's what she said. And she said the next day, it wasn't funny at the time, but she said the next day when she heard it played back, she thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But she said it wasn't funny at the time.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't.
So she quickly makes her way down the steep stone steps into the lobby. She said that the smell followed her all the way down the stairs, but it stopped as soon as she crossed from the old castle part into the new part of the hotel.
Well, that's crazy.
It stopped instantly. So the night manager came over, and he got her a drink from the bar. He put her in a room at the complete opposite end of the hotel in the new part. He told her to spend the rest of the night there, and he had to talk her into it because she was so visibly shaken. She was ready to just go, but he talked her into it, and she stayed. The next morning, they were sitting there having breakfast, and a manager came over, and he had mentioned that several guests had complained about the infamous door knocking and nobody being there that night. One guest even said that a woman walked into her room, and when she sat up to get kind of a closer look, the lady disappeared. After breakfast, the manager asked Kim to at least go back upstairs and take a look at the ghost room in the daylight. So she did. She slowly walked up to the room. She said it was very cold, no smell, just like it had started out the night before. They were leaving, and a manager said, "Oh my God, look at the mirror." So Kim looks over at the mirror, and there, written in dust on the mirror, was her name, Kim.
Oh.
Kim immediately said, "I didn't do it." Kim made the manager question the staff, and they all said that they didn't do it. Kim says she still doesn't know to this day whether it was a prank or whatever it is, but she also doesn't want to know.
Oh, my God.
Because that's the story of the Bally Galley Hotel.
Dang, that sounds cool.
So
I don't know. What would you... I know you'd probably love to stay there.
Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat. And I would want to stay in the ghost room.
Yeah, of course you would. I don't know. That's... You'd think that if a ghost is hanging around and somebody sat up in their bed and saw you, why wouldn't you hang around and have a combo?
I don't know.
Why maybe, you gotta just disappear?
Maybe they just want to be able to spy on you and be a peeping Tom, and they don't want to get caught.
Yeah, that's but like, that's not very... They're not doing a good job. They're getting caught.
Well, that's like saying a peeping Tom. Why wouldn't a peeping Tom hang around and talk?
Because I would be like, "Hey, wait, don't go." You know, and say, "Let's talk."
Yeah, you wouldn't do that when we were in Bardstown when you thought you saw something.
No, I don't
remember you asking that thing to talk.
Well, that's true.
Anyways.
That was creepier, though.
We're going to take a really quick break from our sponsor, and we've got some Patreon stuff going on, and we drink and we know things, and I'm going to fill you guys in on the progress of the book so far.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, so Tracy, we're writing this book. I say we're, but it's more me. But you're in it. And a whole bunch of other people.
Well, thanks for including me.
Well, you know.
That's big of you.
Anyway, so it's going well. I've not gotten near as far as I thought I would have. There's just been a lot going on with Kristen moving and stuff like that. But the reality of it is I'm happy with where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten 3 chapters done where most of the paranormal stuff, early paranormal stuff is done. And I've let 4 or 5 people read it. And so far, everybody's had positive things to say.
No, I think you've done a really great job.
So I'm excited about it. And like I said, I'm ready to get cracking at it again tomorrow.
Crack-a-lacking.
Tell us about Patreon and iTunes reviews, please.
I will.
And then right after that, we will play the little segment from Andrea and Tom. You guys are going to love this. It was pretty fun. I remember Tracy laughing her tail off at one part of it.
All right. Our iTunes reviews, we have Ghost Host 14, Natalie Singer, Jason B 007, Yo Mama, and Amanda Jameson. Thank you, guys. My goodness, y'all's reviews were like so awesome.
Yeah, they were very good reviews. And it does help us tremendously when you can leave a review. So
yeah, somebody call me a queen. Dang.
Well, you know.
That was so nice. But thank you, guys.
You're my queen.
Aw, I love you, sweetheart.
Love you, too.
And our Patreons was Dieter Reinhardt and Rhea Taylor. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. And we just love you guys. Pieces.
Yeah, Deidre was just on our Patreon listener stories episode. Yes. She had a couple of stories from where she was in Fort Hood in Texas.
Very good stories.
So
yes.
She went from one haunted house, stayed 4 months, and then went to moved into another house, and it was haunted also.
Yeah, that's crazy and unheard of. But you know, people just I guess ghosts attract to her because she's a sweetheart or something. I'm not really sure, but
yep, I would absolutely agree.
But all right. Thank you guys for your support. Like I said, we appreciate you. We love the reviews so much. It means the world to us. And thank you for your support on Patreon.
Right after we listen to this little snippet from We Drink and We Know Things from Tom and Andrea Payne, Tracy's got kind of a cool story to talk about. And then obviously the 1-year anniversary of the passing of her father is coming up in a couple of days. And we just had a unique experience happened last weekend and today that all kind of ties together. So we're going to talk about that right after this interview. So stick around. Hey guys, we got some old friends on the line here. We've got Andrea and Tom Payne. They're a husband wife team from We Drink and We Know Things. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Man, thank you for having us.
Hi,
we're happy to be here.
Excited to be here.
So you guys have performed with us at the Louisville show we did not this past year because it got canceled.
Yeah.
You were going to be there. And the year before, though, you performed live with us. You've been on, I think, 2 of the Halloween specials that we've done. So we're glad to have you back on for a full-length interview. It's a long time coming.
Yeah, man. And as a side, you've done so much for us. We appreciate you so much, man.
Yeah, you guys are like the best podcast friends ever.
Yeah, we love you guys. So we're happy to be here.
We appreciate it. Well, we, you know, always like to take care of our own. And you guys are out of Louisville, Kentucky, mm-hmm. which is our hometown. And I absolutely love what you guys do. You have a great dynamic in your husband-wife team, and you know we got a soft spot for that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Thank you.
So tell everybody a little bit, if they're unfamiliar with your show, tell them basically what your show is.
Well, we kind of cover a bunch of different topics. We don't really stick to one thing, but every week Tom tells me a story that he doesn't think I know about, and I tell Tom a story I don't think he knows about. I cover mm-hmm. a lot of true crime and paranormal, and I get some weird stuff sometimes. And then Tom, you usually cover...
I cover a lot of conspiracy theories, cryptids, you know, ufology. I dive a little bit into the occult when I can, and we just try to do it with an air of lightness, and we just try to have a good time with it.
And obviously, in the title, We Drink and We Know Things. We have some drinks.
We do some drinks. We do a little drinking.
It's a comedy podcast, so we have a good time with everything. Even when we're talking about serious things, we still keep it, you know, pretty lighthearted or best as we can. We have a good time with it.
I talked a lot of smack when we started the podcast because I'm a bartender by trade. I come up working bars and, you know, bourbon bars in Louisville. And I said, we're going to do a different cocktail every episode. And after like 3 episodes, I realized we were going to go bankrupt. So now we mostly drink boxed wine and talk smack.
Yeah. We have fun, though. And we do some extra stuff, too, where we do some bonus episodes where we cover like creepypastas mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. The glitch in the Matrix.
Let's not meet. We definitely fell down a like a Reddit hole.
Oh, and we did a Florida Man Friday for a while, which was really fun.
Yeah, we did Florida Man Friday for a little while. But then with COVID, Florida men weren't out anymore. Florida humans were not out anymore. Well, they were, but not, you know, they weren't committing crimes.
Yeah.
So we've definitely eased back on that. But we try to put out at least one bonus episode every other week or so, I think, probably.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are definitely fun, and it comes through on the podcast, and you're just as fun in person. So that's what I think I enjoy about the podcast, is that it truly, from what I've been able to see from the time we spent with you guys, it is you. This is exactly what you do. It's just like you just show up and have a conversation, and you're not putting on an act or anything like that. What you see is what you get.
Absolutely,
we try to keep it cheeseball free.
And the alcohol keeps it pretty down to earth.
Keeps us loose, keeps us natural.
We might mess up some words in here and there, but we have fun and we try to do the best research we can.
Yeah, I think that us fumbling words has kind of become a little piece of the show.
It has.
I used to be really adamantly like editing that stuff out, but there's some stuff that's just so friggin' funny. When we say words and phrases that just come out so silly.
We always just say, words are hard.
Yeah.
So give me an idea of what you guys are going to tell us about tonight.
Okay, so this is a little bit different. I mean, it is what we do, but since we're going to cover it together, it's something that I covered, I think, in like episode 2.
It was early, man.
And then I did it again a couple weeks back. And so I thought there were so many things about it, I thought we would revisit it again. It is basically just a list of unusual deaths that have happened
throughout time.
Yeah, starting with like antiquity, moving through Middle Ages to the 19th, 20th, 21st century, because there's some wild stuff that happened.
That sounds like fun. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to you guys and let you do what you do.
Cool, man. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Also, let's have a little quick drink.
Oh, do we do a clinky like we normally do? Yeah. Clink.
Hey, all right. Let us get our documents together here.
So, unusual deaths include unique or extremely rare circumstances of death recorded throughout history, noted as being unusual by multiple sources. And there are so many that date back, starting from, like I said, antiquity through Middle Ages, 19th, 20th.
Some of these, I didn't know we were keeping documents already.
Exactly.
Who was chiseling writing this down? Like they were chiseling it into something.
Yeah, beats me. But we're just going to kind of jump through some of them. And I'm going to let you start with one, Tom.
Okay, so the first one that we're going to talk about is Draco Malfoy.
Oh, that's another thing when we say words are hard. When you go back to like BC, these names are crazy.
Names
so bear with
silly.
Us.
So Draco was an Athenian lawmaker, was reportedly smothered to death by gifts of cloaks and hats showered upon him by appreciative citizens at a theater on on Aegina is the name of the place.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
You made me read that one on purpose.
I like to try to, what is it, when you spell it out?
Oh, yeah, you phonetically got me together on that one.
That guy died from gifts.
People just
gifts, not gifts.
Imagine just somebody throwing so many blankets at you that you die.
He enjoyed it.
It was a straight, he didn't get out of the way.
I'm going to start with 455 BC. According to Valerius Maximus, Aeschylus, the eldest of the three great Athenian tragedians.
Nailed it. Don't judge a thing.
Was killed by a tortoise dropped by an eagle that had mistaken his bald head, Jerry, watch out, for a rock suitable for shattering the shell of the reptile.
Stop.
Pliny, in his Naturalis Historiae, adds that Aeschylus had been staying outdoors to actually avert a prophecy that he would be killed by a falling object.
And then my man's died from a falling turtle?
Yeah.
Man, that's a crazy...
I'm assuming that was a slow death.
Yeah, it was a very slow death. The turtle fell really hard. Really, really slowly. So the next one, it was according to a Greek philosopher, Democritus of Abdera, died at the age of 109. I mean, that's pretty good. This is in 370 BC. As he was on his deathbed, his sister was greatly worried because she needed to fulfill her religious obligations to the goddess Artemis. Mm-hmm. In the approaching three-day Thesmophoria festival, it's where everybody rages, I guess, in 370 BC, Democritus told her to place a loaf of warm bread under his nose, and he was able to survive for the 3 days of the festival by sniffing it.
How delightful.
However, after the festival, they removed the bread, and he died.
Well, he got through
it. Secret to longevity. Breads.
Yeah, wow. Okay, I'm moving to May 31st of 1410. Martin of Aragon died from a combination of indigestion and uncontrollable laughter. Okay.
I hope that's how I go out.
According to tradition, Martin was suffering from indigestion on account of eating an entire goose when his favorite jester, Bora, entered the king's bedroom.
Hey, I got a joke for you, man.
Seriously, when Martin asked Bora where he had been, the jester replied with, "Out of the next vineyard, where I saw a young deer hanging by his tail from a tree, as if someone had so punished him for stealing figs." And this joke...
Absolute knee slapper.
...caused the king to die from laughter. I don't see the humor.
I think I missed the punchline somewhere in there, man. Imagine just eating a whole duck, and then the homie tells you a joke and it kills you.
Yep. I mean, that's one way to go.
Okay, so George Plantagenet.
Where are we at? What year?
The 18th of February, 1478.
We're jumping.
We're moving through time.
There's so many.
So the first Duke of Clarence was allegedly executed by drowning in a barrel of Malmsby wine, apparently his own choice when he accepted he was to be killed.
I'm on board.
If you're taking me out, you're going to put me in a barrel full of wine. That's how it's going to go.
Just chug it while you're on your way out.
Yeah, go out fat and happy, man. Just like the other guy, yeah. You know?
Okay, so now I'm moving to February 17th, 1673. The French playwright Molière suffered a pulmonary hemorrhage caused by tuberculosis while playing the character Argon, a severe hypochondriac in his own play, The Imaginary Invalid. Okay.
I just want you to know you navigated all those words like an absolute professional just
thank
then.
Thank you.
Jeez.
As they were coming, they looked really scary, but I got through it. He disguised his convolution as part of his performance and actually finished the show, which included a scene in which the character he was playing faked his own death.
Stop.
To find out how his wife really felt about him. What a weird way to finish. Y'all are married. I think she likes you. After the show, Moyer's actual wife, who played the daughter of his character, realized that he was really ill, and she carried him across the street to their house in the same chair he had pretended to die in as a part of the performance.
Oh my. And did he actually die in it?
He began coughing up blood, and she sent for a priest to hear him renounce his acting career so he could be buried on sacred ground. But he died before a sympathetic priest could be found.
No way.
Sorry, buddy.
Man, he had to be like, I won't act anymore. I won't in the afterlife, I promise. I'll take up a better profession. Oh, we're really jumping here. We're going to talk about Frank Hayes.
There's just so many we have to jump quickly.
There's a million. We could be here all night. this is in 1924. The only race Frank Hayes, a 35-year-old jockey of Elmont, New York, ever won was when he died. Riding a horse called Sweet Kiss, Frank suffered a fatal heart attack mid-race and collapsed on the horse. Sweet Kiss managed to still win with his body on it, and he technically won. I've heard jockeys live tough. I heard they don't have an easy life. Those guys work hard, live hard.
That horse should have been called Death Kiss.
Hey.
Oh. At least he won.
Yeah, good for him. Going out on a high note, yes. Right?
I'm jumping to 1958. Gareth Jones.
Gareth.
He was an actor. He died of a heart attack between scenes of a live television play called Underground. Other members of the cast improvised lines such as,
stop it,
quote, "I'm sure if so-and-so were here, he would say..."
The show must go on, you know?
To compensate for Jones's absence. Coincidentally, Jones's character was supposed to die of a heart attack
creepy.
In a later scene of the play.
Well, he jumped the gun, man. Seriously. Jeez.
That's sad.
Oh, no.
What a weird twist of events.
Yeah.
So weird. Jeez. I mean, it's sad. All this is sad.
If I ever do, like one of the local theater things and, like, I'm scheduled to die in a scene, I'm gonna opt out of the whole show.
You're not gonna do that.
Well, I think the little colonel is still hiring. So next we're gonna talk about Kurt Gödel, an Austrian-American logician and mathematician, died of starvation when his wife was hospitalized. He refused to eat food prepared by anyone else. And he suffered from an obsessive fear of being poisoned. And he just starved to death because his wife got sick.
Well?
Oh, yeah. That's
he really liked her cooking.
Yeah, she made the best chicken tendies. In Austria.
And she wasn't going to poison him.
Nope, the only one that wouldn't. Everybody else had to poison my guy.
Okay, I'm jumping to 2004.
Oh, yeah, we've really progressed. We're in the modern times now.
Well, it's wild to me that, like...
It makes everything much easier to pronounce.
Some of these crazy things... Because you get, like, back in, like, forever BC when like an elephant fell on somebody.
Sure.
When you get like more modern day, it's like, what? This stuff is this weird
this
things
stuff's
are
still
happening.
Crazy weird stuff happening, yeah.
So in 2004, Philip Quinn was 24 from Kent, Washington, was killed when a lava lamp he was heating.
No, he wasn't. Nobody had a lava lamp still in 2004.
Okay, but he was heating it on a stove.
Buddy.
That's not how those work.
You don't do that. That's not what you do with a lava
lamp. It exploded and a shard pierced his heart.
Oh, bud.
What are the odds?
Peak Darwinism.
It was like when we were out in the yard yesterday and you were weed eating and you busted that thing and a shard of glass hit me in the face.
That was completely coincidental.
But what? It could have hit me in the heart and killed me.
Oh, man.
So,
ask Steve Irwin what the odds are.
Right? Jerry said, ask Steve Irwin what the odds are.
Oh, he's on this list.
Yes. Oh, no. Okay, next, Jimmy Heselden. 26 September 2010, my man was 62 years old, and he was the owner of Segway Incorporated. He died after apparently riding a Segway personal transport system off of a cliff. You can't make that up. The guy that invented the Segway died from falling off a cliff on his Segway.
You think he was playing Pokemon Go?
He was definitely Pokemon Going it.
Oh.
He was definitely Pokemon Going it.
That's
not
such a
paying
bummer.
Attention.
That's such a bummer. Okay, jumping. I'm at 2017. 2017.
Yeah.
I was going to say, talk about segueing into the afterlife.
Oh, Jerry's got the... He said, talk about segueing into the afterlife. Stop! I mean, we set you up perfect for that. I'm offended I didn't figure that one out. That was great. Seriously. What a great punchline.
So, 2017, Robert Dreyer, 89 years old. This is wild. He drowned on his birthday.
Bummer.
But wait, he didn't fall into the lake. He crashed his car into a fire hydrant. And Dreyer successfully stepped out of his car, but was swallowed by a sinkhole.
What?
Likely created as a result of the destruction of the fire hydrant and subsequent water pressure.
Imagine just that, like, the chaos of crashing your car and being like, oh, I'm okay. Things could have been so much worse. Oh, I'm getting swallowed by the freaking planet.
Yeah, just freaking kidding. Oh. I mean, that's such a freaking bummer.
Dude. Yeah, because imagine you're just like, oh, I'm okay. I'm all right, guys. He's like waving and passing. I'm fine. Swallow, no, I'm swallowed.
And not only, it's not like you just die from the sinkhole. You get drowned because you hit a fire hydrant that created the sinkhole.
And you get the brakes beat off you by the planet.
Ugh, that's a bummer.
Oh, my gosh. I think I got one or two more.
You got one, and then I'm going to do that
one. Oh, you're going to do that one? She runs the paperwork. She's the boss. So next, we're going to talk about my man Sam Ballard in 2018. Sam Ballard, he was 29 years old, died from angiostrongyliasis.
Oh, yeah, I gave you that one on purpose.
Appreciate it. Medical condition. After eating a garden slug as a dare 8 years earlier.
He died from eating a slug.
8 years earlier.
8 years ago.
And keep in mind, he would have been 21 when he did it, so still kind of a dingus.
It took 8 years for it to kill him.
Yeah. It's like, you know, don't swallow your gum, okay? You might die from a really long word 8 years from now.
Oh, no.
Also, don't eat slugs.
Ew.
Why are you eating slugs, man? You ain't that hungry. This isn't Naked and Afraid.
It is like a delicacy in some places, I think,
yeah, this
right?
isn't France. What are you doing?
Okay, so we got one more, which comes January 14th, 2020.
Yep.
Which is also wild to me because I wonder if anything with like COVID will end.
I was about to say, is this the Cracker Jack that started COVID?
No.
Like,
Sergio
Milan,
59, was killed when the ceiling of his flat in Tarragona, Spain, collapsed on him. The collapse was caused by a heavy metal plate that flew 3 kilometers, propelled by an explosion from a factory in the outskirts of the town, and eventually crashed into the flat. That thing got flung.
So I don't speak kilometers, far. But I think it was a long little range there. Crazy.
Yeah.
That's like when you see those videos of like near misses. Like, have you ever seen those people like walking on the street and like a tire flies off the car?
Yeah.
And just utter destruction. It's like that for like miles. That thing just flew for so far.
There was a couple in there like that. There was one where a guy got impaled by an umbrella on a beach because there was high winds.
Oh, no.
Oh, and there was another guy who got...
Just having a day. He's out there just getting some sun.
Yeah, another guy was going to put out a fire and got hit with the fire extinguisher that blew out of the... It's just
gee,
like...
my knee.
Poor Steve Irwin is on that list, though.
Mm-hmm. Rest in pieces to all those poor folks
I
that
know.
Died so crazy. Even
but
the
yeah,
ones
that is just a little touch on something that we've covered a couple times in the podcast. Because yes. there's so many, we could probably cover this.
You could do it as a podcast.
Probably, you know what yeah. I mean? But I mean, we could
people
easily
die all kind of funky ways all the time. Somebody just did something real dumb somewhere in the world and just died, like just right now. They're listening to We Drink and We Know Things. They're listening to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Something
and
terrible just happened.
Of course, they're not funny, but it's just some crazy things that have happened that just fascinate me, blow my mind. And that's something that we've covered a few times on the podcast.
Yeah, which you can find on our stream. We Drink and We Know Things.
Podcast.
Hey. I thought that was a perfect representation of what your show is. It was fun. It was light. You two, you had that awesome chemistry with each other. It's so perfect.
Well, thanks.
Man, we kind of like each other. We dig hanging out. I guess. You know? And we've been freaking kicking it. We've been in quarantine together. I'm still cool with you.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Just hope you don't end up on that list.
Jeez. Yeah, Jerry, again, if she calls you about a life insurance policy, you got to hit me up, okay?
I'll give you the heads up right after I get the first
Somebody's
premium.
Got to, man.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Is there any better way that these guys, you got an Instagram page or anything they can follow you on?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. You can email us at WeDrinkAndWeKnowThingsPodcast@gmail.com if you have story ideas or if you're a fan of the show. We're on most platforms. I think we're going to be on iHeartRadio pretty soon, but we're on Spotify, iTunes, all the major ones. You can find us.
Stitcher. Google Play.
Yeah. Yeah. And we love hearing from folks. You can find us at We Drink and We Know Things podcast on pretty much every social media.
Yeah, we got Twitter,
or Google
Instagram.
Search. There are some Game of Thrones themed podcasts, but we don't mess with those guys. So, you know, hang out with us instead.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for coming on. Guys, if you're listening and you haven't subscribed to their show, go subscribe. Also, leave them a review on iTunes, and in the review, leave in there that you heard them on here. So. Yeah, thank absolutely. You guys for coming on.
Thank
we
you so
you.
Much Jerry, for
thank
having
you
us.
So much, man. We appreciate you.
We had a blast.
All right. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Absolutely, man. Looking forward to it.
They are so much fun. And I'm telling you, it's just amazing how many strange ways people can be killed over the years. That is the weirdest type things. It's amazing. All right. So we promised a little story. So we're going to go back. I think we mentioned this on the last show, but maybe not. Before the Pigeon Forge show, Tracy got a call on Facebook Messenger from two people. It was like a, you know, group call. It was male and female, and that's important for what I'll say later. But so they talked to Tracy for a little bit, you know, as we're waiting to get the show started. And Tracy, go ahead and tell everybody what that call was about.
So like Jerry said, you know, she called and we were sitting there talking and she said to me that, you know, somebody had came to her and that wanted to tell me that he loved me very much and he's always around me. And the way it was described, it was my dad. So, of course, I was like, oh my gosh, I was so excited. So we got on with the show and then we talked about other things, but then I talked again to her yesterday, and she asked me if I had felt my dad at all. Have you found anything that just kind of caught you off guard? Like, where the hell did that come from? And I said, well, no, not really. And she said, well, I think you need to look a little closer. He wants you to feel him just like you want to feel him. He left you something for you yesterday, just to let you know he was there. Okay. And this is kind of funny when I think about it now. I never thought about it at one time at all. Well, I was in the hospital. And when my dad was always in the hospital.
A couple days ago, she was in
the hospital. Oh, no. I was in the hospital a couple days ago.
Yeah.
But when my dad and mom were in the hospital, my dad always made sure he took everything in that room because he would be like, dude, I've paid a lot of money to be in here, so I want everything from the bedpan to everything that comes in it, you know, like the little shampoos or whatever and lotions. So the second day I was there, and that day I was getting ready to leave. And I looked over and I saw one of those pink bedpans just loaded down with stuff. And I'm like, I know for a fact that I have never seen that daggone thing there.
And when she says loaded down with stuff, not stuff you would typically find in a bedpan. Not that kind of loaded down.
Oh, yeah, no. No. So also when the nurse was discharging me, she was like, well, here, you want this thermometer? they're going to just throw it away. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'll take that. And then she had the stethoscopes. And she said, I mean, they're pretty good. I mean, they're not the real expensive things. She said, but they're just going to throw it away. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'll take that. And so I put it all over. And I grabbed the big old bedpan. And I stuck it in the plastic bag. And I said, Dad, this is for you. Because it just cracked me up. Because it just made me think. And it's just the weirdest thing that I hadn't even seen it there before. So I brought all of it home. Well, today we were going to Kristen's and still moving stuff. We came back. I have a big picture of my dad. It's just beautiful. It had fallen to the floor, which I don't know how, because it's on one of those hook thingies.
Yeah, it's on a hook.
Yeah, with the nails down into it. I came in, I'm like, oh my God, Dad's picture fell. So we go on in, I put his picture back up, and I have a picture of mom and dad on a little mom and dad picture on the side of a candle or something like that. Dad's picture was turned over. Mom's wasn't. So I'm like, Jerry, do you think this is what's going on? Because it really kind of freaked me out. So I don't know if that's Dad's way of saying, hi, you took the bedpan or what. So I guess that's what she was talking about looking, you know, take a closer look.
Yeah, because, I mean, you were in the hospital at that time.
Right.
So that wouldn't be something you would think about, but it was something that after the fact kind of made sense.
So I don't know. I don't know if I should be freaked out by it or just laugh about it, because that's this is how my dad was. But it was very weird that only his pictures had fallen. So, Dad, I'm just saying, if you're here in this house, please stay around and come and see me again and visit and talk or whatever you want to do, because I just thought that was amazing.
So, all right, guys, that wraps up this edition of Hillbilly Horror Stories. We just want to say thank everybody and let you know that we love you and we're always thinking about you and we're always here for you.
Absolutely. We love y'all and we hope you have a blessed week.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.